This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
This is your call to action. Get prepared, America. Economy, survival, energy, disasters. This is USAprepares.com. Informative radio, educational radio. Interact now by emailing instructor at USAprepares.com or text at 434-390-7953. Class, please take your seats. Now, your instructor, Vincent Finelli.
Yeah. Everyone all set? Cocked, locked, hour number two of USA Prepares. Just me for this hour, 5-minute university lessons. And I'm going to be talking about ignition switches on small equipment. I'm going to be talking about wiring plugs and receptacles. You can talk about chicken crumbles, chicken pellets. The height of the container that you feed your chickens from, how I annotate the service of vehicles and how I record it. I don't use a computer. It's much faster, much easier, and much more readily accessible. And so service records of cars and trucks. And I want to talk about trailer wiring, trailer brakes, and what do you do if you have one of those winter thumbs and your thumb skin starts cracking just below the fingernail, you know, at the edge of the fingernail, and it gets worse and worse and worse in it? So you want to wash your hands, but if you do, the crack gets worse. What do you do about that? So those are some of the things that we'll be talking about. And we'll talk about a little bit about refrigeration as well. One of the interesting things that's happened is we are noticing that some of our neighbors have refrigeration equipment that's failing. And I've talked about this and what you can do to prevent it. When your refrigerator or freezer or refrigerator freezer quits, it's a big problem right then. Immediately, it's a problem because you've got food that you want to keep cold, food that you want to keep frozen, and the unit quits. Well, what encourages the early failure of refrigeration equipment? Too much voltage. That's one thing. And the other is too much heat. So it's really to eliminate the too much heat problem. Typically under every refrigerator or freezer that is not a chest freezer, I'm talking about an upright type, you will find the coils are most often underneath the unit. And there's a little access panel. It's right along the bottom edge. Typically just either unscrews with two screws, or it's held on by spring clips, and you just pull it off. And then you can take your vacuum cleaner hose and vacuum out the coils. And what you want to do is you want to stop the fan from moving so you don't tear up the fan with the vacuum cleaner wand, and vacuum out the coils. And you'll find out that you need to do this probably every couple of months. If you have a dog, certainly. Or dogs. And there's a fan there that moves a lot of air over these coils. And what happens is dog hair, cat hair gets stuck in the coils. It attracts more dust to get collected on top of the cat hair and the dog hair. And pretty soon you have a mat that prevents airflow from getting to these coils. What happens next is those coils are designed to remove the heat from the refrigeration and from the compressor and from the oil that circulates through the refrigeration system. So the oil gets hot. And when it gets hot, ultimately, if it gets too hot, it burns. And when it burns, it becomes thick. And when it becomes thick, it doesn't lubricate, and then the compressor fails. So the easiest, least expensive thing to do to protect and preserve the life expectancy of your refrigeration equipment, upright types, is to vacuum those coils every couple of months. Some refrigeration equipment, the older types, have the coils on the back. and they are mounted with standoffs, and they're typically black, and there are coils that snake from left to right and go from the bottom of the unit up to the top. And there are little wires that are mechanically welded to these coils. And that's the heat exchanger. It's the same thing that is underneath refrigerators and freezers, but it's larger, but it doesn't have a fan, because the idea was to use natural air movement. Heat rises, convection, and the natural moving of the air behind the refrigerator, which is typically 4 inches away from the wall, allows the heat to be pulled from the inside of the refrigerator to the outside of the cabinetry and go into the air in, let's say, your kitchen. That's a great design. That's my favorite design. The one without the fan is my favorite design. But more materials used and more energy is saved, so more modern refrigerators don't use that construction. They have the coils, smaller coils, way smaller coils, with a fan that blows air over them. The problem with that is they become dusty very quickly, and then when they become dusty, the heat exchange is minimized, and then the compressors overheat, and then you need to buy a new refrigerator freezer. So clean them every couple of months. You can get on your hands and knees, get a flashlight, take off that front panel, and clean the coils. And you're probably better off unplugging it so that coil's not spinning. Oh, I'm sorry, so the fan's not spinning at the coil. And what I do is I vacuum in front of the refrigerator and then pull it outward so I can get behind it. And there's typically an access panel, like it lets me get to more of the coils and clean them even better. So I put the refrigerator and the freezer in our kitchen on these rollers. And you can buy them. They're appliance rollers, about $15 for a set of two. And they're about an inch and a quarter high. Got a whole bunch of rollers, little white plastic rollers, and they are adjustable to fit most refrigerator and freezer sizes, and they hold the weight. So you rock the refrigerator to one side, put the rollers under it, rock the refrigerator to the other side, put the rollers under it. Then you can roll the refrigerator in and out of the cabinetry much easier. Now, the old refrigerators used to have rollers. The new ones, I think the accountants got into the system and decided you don't need any rollers. And besides, if you have rollers, then you'll be cleaning your coils, and then the refrigerators or freezers will last longer, and they certainly don't want that. So for $15, you can get a set of rollers, and every piece of refrigeration equipment we have here at the farm has a set of rollers. You can buy them on the Internet. You can buy them at Home Depot and Lowe's and these big box stores. But about $15 per set. And we have them underneath our chest freezers as well. And the idea is so you can move them, because if you don't have them, you can't move them. They're too heavy when you put food in them. So that's the plan. And if you keep the area free for air to circulate, you want a couple inches behind the freezer and refrigerator, a couple inches on either side so the air can circulate and cool off that box. Now, I saw something custom. You have to have custom cabinets to do this kind of insanity. But I saw a custom cabinet that housed a refrigerator and freezer in a kitchen. So a refrigerator-freezer combination. And it looked like the owner of the house had these cabinets made, specified to the cabinet maker the dimensions of the refrigerator-freezer. You know, length, width, depth, height. Well, the cabinet maker made them a quarter of an inch larger, which meant that there's virtually no room for air to circulate around this equipment. So this compressor was running 24 hours a day, nonstop, trying its best to cool off the inside of the cabinetry when the wooden kitchen cabinet was surrounding this unit with only a quarter of an inch to spare. Made no sense at all, right? But that's what happens. That's what happens when people don't seem to think about what they're doing. So you really need a couple inches to the left, a couple inches to the right, and a couple inches above your refrigerator-freezer combination. And that's what we have. And actually what I did to make sure, since we now have the units on rollers, and we've had them for years on rollers, but because of that, I wanted to make sure that we did not push the refrigerator and freezer back against the wall too tightly, because it needs room for air circulation behind the boxes. So what I did was I took some 2x2 boards, but not the full width of the cabinetry, just enough so that when you push the freezer and refrigerator back against the wall, it stands off about 2 inches. So you can just take a small block of wood, maybe 6 inches wide, and screw it onto one of your studs that's in behind the refrigerator. And that way, when you push your refrigerator, freezer, or refrigerator and freezer back against the wall, it can't go completely against the wall because there's a standoff of a 2x2. Just a thought. That's what we do, and it really, really works well. Next thought. I was working on a golf cart, and the problem with this golf cart, it's an easy go, gasoline-powered, two-cylinder, two spark plugs, and it has a 12-volt battery. Used to work great, and the battery kept going dead. So we have a battery tester, and it tells how many cold cranking amps that the battery is still good for, and we needed to replace the battery, put their battery in, it was great. Then later on, the battery just would not stay charged. No matter what we did, it wouldn't stay charged. And we diagnosed this to a very small device called a voltage regulator. This thing is about the size of a half of a deck of cards, has three wires on it. You can buy them for about $10 shipped on eBay. Now, this is, I'm giving you generic information specifically applied to an EasyGo golf cart that won't charge the battery. The reason the battery kept going dead was because the generator was unable to charge the battery because a device that regulates the charge is called a voltage regulator. About $10, three wires, red wire, a black wire, and a green wire. And you can easily mount this. It's a 15-minute job if you have the tools. And it's really simple. But here's what happened. These Chinese regulators are made specifically for this application. Except the connectors, all three of them are wrong. So two of the connectors have an eyelet that's crimped onto a short wire. And one of them has a spade push-on connector. The spade push-on connector was the wrong size and the wrong sex. You know, it needed to be male and it was female. So that's not going to work. And then the eyelets, the holes in them were too small. And I tried drilling them a little bit bigger, but there's so little material in the eyelets from China that I didn't have enough material to drill the holes bigger. So here's what I'm saying. Be prepared to buy parts that don't fit. And then what are you going to do about it if all you can get is parts that don't fit? So what I did was I took the old wires with the eyelets and the spade connector, and I cut them all off, used heat shrink tubing, solder, and soldered the old connectors onto the new regulator. And it worked.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com. That's advertise at gcnlive.com.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Pencils, paper, notebooks, iPads. Class is now in session. USAPrepares.com. Educational radio. Set your memory to high power. Your USAPrepares.com instructor, Vincent Finelli, at the controls.
So at the breakfast meeting this morning, we're talking about things we need to work on, what's happening. And our son told me that he went to order some wheel weights. Now, these are weights that we use to balance tire and wheel assemblies in our shop. And we have plenty of them. But, you know, it's the kind of thing that we don't want to run out of them. So we order them way before we need them. Well, the ones that we need are out of stock. They're out of stock locally. Can't order them. They're out of stock regionally. Can't order them. And you can't put in a back order request. There aren't any of this particular type. There's a whole bunch of different kinds of wheel weights, but let me just give you a little insight into wheel weights. So steel wheels used to use a lead weight. And these were common, and they were unplated, unpainted, just a steel clip that was embedded in the lead weight. The lead weight was formed in a semicircle to conform to the edge of the rim. And you would just simply hammer the appropriate weight in the right position on the wheel, the correct position, on the outside rim and the inside rim. And the balancer will tell you exactly where to do that. Well, lead has fallen out of favor ever since Barry and the Bandits were involved in removing lead from the system. It's hard to get some weights, and some states and localities have banned the use of lead weights to balance wheels. Allegedly, they come off. Well, it seems to me that I've only seen them come off when people either hit really big potholes, crash their vehicles, or the weights are improperly installed. Other than that, they stand really well. And they have for as long as I've been alive. I was balancing wheels back in the 70s, like 1970. And at Sears Roebuck and Company, where they taught me how to do that. Well, because lead has fallen out of favor with the government, there are substitutes. And one of the substitutes is zinc. Another substitute is steel. The problem with steel is it rusts. And the problem with zinc is it corrodes. And then there is a chemical reaction between the alloy wheel, magnesium aluminum alloy wheels, and some of the weights. So they have to coat the weights to act as the like a paint coating, if you will, to act as a barrier between the metal weight and the metal wheel. Because what happens is if you use the wrong weight material, the wheel weight will corrode the aluminum alloy wheels. Can you imagine that? Well, you've seen it. If you look at the wheels that have been around for a while, you'll see these spots where the wheel weights were on the previous tires, and then the new tires are installed with new weights. New weights go in a different location, and you can see where the old weights were. And that's because the old weights were the incorrect type. They needed to be coated so that they won't cause corrosion. But what happens with shops, many shops, is they will reuse the old weights. Now, I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with reusing the old weights. But I do have a problem with reusing the wrong old weights. So what you want to do is make sure that your tire shop uses the correct weights for your wheels. Now, the imported wheels have a different shape rim than the domestic wheel rims. So there's many kinds of wheel weights, many kinds, and different materials. So you have the lead, the zinc, the steel, then you have the plated, the unplated, and then you have the different rim configurations. So if the wrong weight is used, you will have corrosion or the wheel weights will fly off because the shape of the clip that holds the weight on the rim is not the correct shape. So a lot of things to think about, and I just want to let you know that it looks like some of the really popular wheel weights are in short supply right now. Who would have thought that, right? Well, it's happening and we're seeing it and we have no idea, no clue as to when the wheel weights are going to be back in stock. So, you know what you might want to do when you have your tires balanced, changed? Ask to keep the old weights.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
USA News Update. A Delaware judge delayed the start of a trial on a voting machine company's defamation claims against Fox News. The announcement was made as the network is looking for a possible way to settle the case. Superior Court Judge Eric Davis said last night he was delaying the start of the trial by one day, moving it to tomorrow. He didn't explain the reasons for the move. Congress returns to Washington this week with one item on the agenda, the infamous debt ceiling.
Financial experts are warning that the federal government could face an historic default that would crash the economy this summer if Congress doesn't raise the debt ceiling. The most conservative House Republicans keep insisting that they won't vote to raise the debt ceiling without deep spending cuts. President Biden has insisted on a so-called clean bill that would only raise the $31.4 trillion debt ceiling without addressing any spending issues. I'm Skip Kelly.
Lance Pry, USA News.
Eating, working, living pain-free. These are things many of us take for granted. But for many adults with disabilities who are elderly or have serious medical issues, dental care is simply unaffordable. Dental Lifeline Network is looking for dentists who can change this. DLN is asking dentists and their teams to volunteer to just see one of the many patients in need. You can literally change a life. When you volunteer with DLN's donated dental services program to C1, you treat a pre-qualified patient in your office at your convenience. We handle the details so you can focus on the care. Lack of dental care can lead to the inability to have life-saving surgery, eat, or contribute to our community. If you are a dentist or know a dentist, please share this message. Will you see one? Visit willyouseeone.org to help change one life in your community today.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Class is back in session. Turn up the volume. USAprepares.com with the original survival economist, Vincent Fennelly.
Okay, so we're talking about wheel weights and for balancing your wheels. Class, I would ask, if I had a company balance my wheels, I would ask them for my old wheel weights. And I would ask them for all the old parts, and I'll tell you why. First of all, you may need wheel weights later. Maybe not, but you might. And what do the auto balancers, what do they do with the wheel weights? Well, they reuse them. They use your wheel weights for somebody else. Or they put them in a bucket and they sell them for the lead. So they have some value. So I think I would ask for them and bring them home. The other thing is, let's say you're having ignition wires replaced. or spark plugs replaced, or a fuel hose, or an ignition coil replaced. And there are a lot of locations that charge a hazardous waste disposal fee. Now think about this. So you have your ignition wires, and you spend $50 for new ignition wires, and then when you get your bill at the end of the service, they say, okay, here's how much you owe, and you look and you go, what's this hazardous waste disposal fee? They say, well, the ignition wires are hazardous waste, so we have a disposal fee. And it's $5 or $7.50 or $9.50 or $10. And what do you think they do with those wires? Do you think they go into some system where the rubber, the silicone, the internal core, the stainless steel clips, the rubber boots, do you think they're all separated and reused? Or do you think they just go in the trash? Well, if they just go in the trash, why don't you just put them in your trash? And say, I'll tell you what, the old parts, I'd like my old parts. And they'll give them to you. They're yours. There's no more charge or less charge. If you don't get charged to keep your own parts, you just may get charged to dispose of your parts if they do it for you. So if they're going to be thrown away, why don't you just throw them away yourself and save the money? Just my way of thinking. So that's what I would do. And the other thing about doing that is you have a slightly better chance of making sure that only the parts that are bad are replaced, because you want your old parts. And there may still be some useful life left in your old parts. If you change your own oil, how do you keep records? And here's what I do on my vehicles. So let's say I'm using a Fram brand oil filter, PH8A, model number, for let's say a Jeep. And an old Jeep, like, 1990s vintage Jeep. I cut off the side of the oil filter box where it says PH8A Fram. Okay? I cut that off with a pair of scissors. And on the back, with a ballpoint pen, I write the date, and I write the mileage from the odometer. And then I put things like 4.5 quarts of 10W40, and then the brand of the engine oil. So that tells me the brand and the specific gravity of the oil, or the specific weight, I should say, of the oil, and grade of the oil. And then if I clean the air filter, I write, I use burger dots, like if I was typing, clean air filter, check differential fluid. And I write all these things down, check the tire pressure, check the belts. And if the belts are okay, I write check belts dash okay. So I write on the back of the oil filter box that I cut off. So it's just one piece of cardboard, all the things that I did. And I put them in order, and I put them in a Ziploc baggie, and I put that inside the glove compartment. The newest one's on top. So I have a complete record of the brand of the part that I write the date on it. And that also tells me, if let's say I were to put a U-joint in there, a universal joint, I'd cut the end of the box off with the part number on it and the brand and the date. And I would write that I bought it at AutoZone or wherever I happened to buy it from. And if it had a lifetime warranty, I'd write lifetime warranty. That way, if that part fails, I just look in the glove compartment and I say, well, U-joint failed. Here it is. I bought it at AutoZone. Here's the date. And I can bring the U-joint back with that box part that I cut off if I didn't have the receipt. And I'd say, I bought it from y'all. Here's when I bought it. Here's the part number. And it's lifetime warranty. May I have a replacement, please? So that's how I handle that. I do that with the air filter box. Now, I don't cut off great big pieces. I cut off a size that makes sense. Maybe the size of a 3x5 file card. you know, typically about that size. But if I put a transmission filter in, I cut the edge of that box off with the part number, where I bought it, and whether it had a warranty with it. That's what I do. So I have a stack of these cards in the Ziploc bag in the glove compartment. So when I want to know when I need to change the oil, I can look at when I last changed the oil. It works great. Next thing, when I feed the chickens, I found out through experimentation that the height of the container that they eat from has a direct relationship to the amount of feed that they waste. So what I do is I place the height that they will be eating with their beaks at about the height of their back when they're bending over to eat. Because they bend over to eat. So the height of the feed is the height of their back. Which really means I can't put the tray on the ground because they spill it and it drops out of their beaks. So you can save a fairly significant portion of feed if you try that. And you might try some experimentation, you know, plus or minus a half an inch and see how that works. Another thing is there are two kinds of chicken food, two configurations, if you will. One is pelletized and the other is crumbles. The crumbles cost more. It's the same stuff, but it's in a finer configuration or format, if you will. Crumbles cost more, and they waste more. So I like to feed the pellets to supplement what the chickens eat, which would be worms and bugs and grass and, you know, those kinds of things. Chickens need fresh water every day. I make sure they get fresh water every day because they're all eating out of or drinking out and eating out of the same containers. So I don't want them to poison themselves, contaminate themselves, or to infect each other. So fresh water every day. One of the things that I found is that every trailer that I've worked on, whether it be a gooseneck trailer, a small single-axle trailer, a larger two-axle trailer, 100% of them have a wiring problem of some kind. 100%. Every single trailer. I'm talking about, not talking about brand-new trailers, but I am talking about trailers that have been on the road for a while, you know, a couple of years at least. Trailer wiring does not last very long, and it's for a lot of reasons. One, trailers stay outside, most of them. The rain falls on the trailer wire connectors, it rusts. The people who assemble the trailer wiring don't solder the wires. They just use crimp-on connectors because it's quick and easy. And then the road salt and the mist from the road salt gets in the connectors, starts corroding them, and it doesn't stop until they've totally failed and have been rewired. So what I do is, instead of just leaving stranded wire and putting it in under a screw terminal and screwing it tight, I literally put a coating of solder on that stripped end of the wire. And that is what I insert in the terminal and screw it on. Or if there's a terminal involved, I will solder the terminal onto the wire rather than just crimp it on. Because corrosion can't seem to get under the solder. It can't do it. So those connections last a lot longer. I use heat shrinkable tubing. You can buy that on eBay. And what it is tubing. It's kind of a flexible, semi-rubber, semi-plastic tubing. And it fits over the wire that's been spliced. And then use a heat gun. And a heat gun is like a hair dryer, except hotter. Maybe 500 degrees, maybe 600 degrees. And it has a blower motor, and it has a little volume and more heat than a hair dryer. And what happens is when you put warm air or hot air over a heat-shrinkable connection, it will shrink to one-half the size or so that it was before heat was applied to it. So it makes a good seal around the connection or the splice. And you can get it in different colors. So I have a mayonnaise type jar filled with, you know, a couple hundred different pieces, 2 inches long or so, of heat shrinkable tubing. Blue, green, yellow, black, red. And you can use them for color coding wires as well. That's another thing. So what if you only have one color wire? I was able to buy some really top quality wire on eBay. Nobody seemed to want it. 16 gauge wire. But it's orange. Orange jacket. Nobody wants an orange jacket. And it has a Teflon coating on top of the orange jacket. It's like military grade. Really good. But it's all orange. And most wire colors are black and red. Sometimes white, sometimes green for 12 volt wiring on trailers. Well, and sometimes brown. What you can do, if you only have one color, is buy colored tape. And so you can get a multi-pack of small rolls of tape that have colors like yellow. I'm talking about like black electrical tape, but yellow and red and green and white and blue and black. And what you can do is wrap the end, you know, a few inches from the end, with some yellow. Yellow on one end, yellow on the other. That tells you that that wire is yellow. Then you can do the same thing with white. Put, you know, one or two wraps of, well, more than one. 1.5 to 2 wraps of white on each end of the wire, about 4 inches from the end. That tells you that's the white wire. Even though it's orange, it tells you that that should be the white wire. And that's what I do. And you can use these colored tapes to indicate different wires in your electrical box as well, or different wires that you're pulling for your landline or your cable, if you have cable running through your house for cable TV or Ethernet cables. And then of course you can use Sharpie markers and write right on the uncut end of the wire, you know, 4 inches from the end, you know, master bedroom number one.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Powdy Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperT.com.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good, they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
Every day, we take steps to keep the people we love safe, but some health risks are easy to miss. Ticks hiding in the yard can spread germs, like the ones that cause Lyme disease. Mice searching for food can spread bacteria that makes us sick. Mosquitoes lay eggs in standing water and can spread West Nile virus and more. Cockroaches are drawn to water in the home, leaving behind allergens that can trigger asthma attacks. Common pests can threaten our health. Learn how to protect your family at pestworld.org.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com. No whining. Only expert guests and seasoned opinions. Instruction that matters. At the controls, Vincent Finelli.
I was reading the news. And a ham and cheese sandwich in New York City can cost $29. I'm talking about, you know, the equivalent of white or with the crust cut off. I mean, who the heck wants to eat the crust? Just throw that away, right? I can't believe it. I can't believe how dumb people are. But there's a chicken salad sandwich at $29. A ham and cheese, $29. Or if you want egg salad, you can save about $5 and get one of those for $24. So if you're being told that inflation is, you know, a couple percent, 3%, 4%, 5%, 8%, how's that jive with a $29 ham and cheese sandwich in New York City? Okay, so back to reality. A duplex outlet, you know, one that has two sockets, the common ones that you have in your house. They have three wires typically, unless it's real old wiring from, you know, before the 1960s. Then there would be just two wires. And I don't think that's safe. I think you really need the three wires. And they have colors. So one wire is white, one wire is black, and the other wire is bare. The bare wire is the ground wire. And if you look at the receptacle, and you're going to wire in a receptacle, I would use the screws, the screw terminals. And you want to wrap the wire that you've stripped clockwise, the same direction that you would tighten the screw. You want to tighten that screw really tightly. Because if it's not tightened tightly, you will have extra resistance, and that connection will heat up. And it could arc, and it could start burning. And it actually could cause a fire. So you want to have a good, secure connection on the screw terminals. And there are three that you'll be using with one piece of Romex wire. And the copper wire, the bare copper wire, as I mentioned, gets connected to the green screw. Green for ground. Green and ground Let's start with letter G. And the black wire goes to the screw that is brass in color. That's easy to remember. Black and brass start with the same letter, B. And then the white wire, which is the neutral, sometimes called the common, goes to the silver screw, which is the closest to white in color. So black to brass, ground goes to green, and the white wire goes to the silver-colored screw. Sometimes they're nickel-plated. And it's easy to do. It's easy to get right. And then when you push that receptacle back into the box, you want to make sure that that bare copper wire does not contact any of the other screws. Okay? Pretty easy to do. Now, sometimes I will put a piece of insulation, tubing insulation, on that bare wire. If there are a lot of wires in there, I want to make sure that the ground wire doesn't contact the black terminal, the black screw. For the black wire, I should say the brass screw. I want to make sure that those wires don't touch. And sometimes I'll wrap electrical tape, and I'll try to use green electrical tape on the ground wire. And the reason for that is sometimes electricians will color code a wire that happens to be a different color from black. They'll color code that to let you know that it is a hot wire. That it normally would be the black wire, but they didn't have black, so they used some other color, and they put black electrical tape on the end of that other colored wire to let you know that it is taking the place of a black wire. So that's why I use green. And then there are different color wire nuts. And so, for example, there's starting with the smallest, typically orange, typically. And it's smaller than that, but orange is good for a couple 18-gauge wires, thin wires. Then yellow is good for a couple 16-gauge wires. Red is even larger, and it's good for a couple 14-gauge wires. And then some people use green wire nuts to join wires in boxes. And I do, and I use them only for ground wires, only. Because green tells me ground. And some people, when they put the wire in the wire nuts, they will twist the two wires together. And some people don't. And it's really unclear as to how you're supposed to do that. So what I do is I put the two wires or three wires that are going to go into a wire nut in parallel. And I cut one of them a little bit shorter than the others. Or leave one a little bit longer. Just a little bit, like a 32nd of an inch. To make them have a point. And when I put them in the wire nut, then I twist them together with pliers, and they all twist uniformly. That's what I do. Not everybody does that, but that's what I do, and it works for me. Well, it looks like that's about it for 5-Minute University today. Tomorrow, Rich Sheeben. I'm going to be spreading lime.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll-free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.